Hey there! Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower-than-low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Support for this podcast and the following message come from Corient. Corient provides wealth management services centered around you. They focus on exceeding your expectations and simplifying your life. Corient has been helping high achievers just like you enjoy their lives more fully, preserve their wealth, and provide for the people, causes, and communities they care about. As one of the largest integrated fee-only registered investment advisors in the U.S., Corient has deeply experienced teams in 23 strategic locations. Corient has extensive knowledge spanning the full spectrum of plan investing, lending, and money management disciplines. Leverage Corient's exclusive network of experts to craft custom solutions designed to help you reach your financial goals, no matter how complex they may be. Real wealth requires real solutions. For more information, connect with a wealth advisor today at Corient.com. That's Corient.com. Corient.com.
Welcome to the post-pod sift spoil. We are going to spoil everything about In the Heights. The hanging with threads, romances, jokes, Easter eggs, cameos, deaths, resurrections, and post-credit sequences.
They all die.
Not really. From In the Heights. Okay, let's get into this. Two main things I want to talk about. Number one, speaking of death, That scene is so powerful and so well done. Tell me about your, Lo, you knew it was coming, right?
Yeah.
So, like, were you preparing yourself for it?
I mean, I'm a little desensitized to it because, like I said, this is a musical that I've listened to quite often beginning to end.
Abuela has died like 100 times in
it's
your mind.
Still
so, yeah.
Truly, the moment that makes me sob, no matter how many times I've listened to this musical, is one of the songs that was cut, which is called Everything I Know, which is this song about Nina. She's sitting in Abuela's house, like, helping pack up her things and kind of go through all of her stuff. As, you know, if you've ever had a loved one die, it's a very emotional process. And she's looking through all of these things that Abuela has saved. A picture of Usnavi when he was a baby at Halloween. Her high school graduation pamphlet with a star next to her name, and like all these things that Abuela, like just showing all the connections that she has, and her talking about how Abuela was always there for her, and she would make sure she did her homework, you know, like while her parents, because she has a mom in the musical who has a song of her own. That's another cut thing from Nina's plotline.
Oh, really?
They cut a lot of Nina's
plot. So it's not just Jimmy Smith's.
Yeah.
Jimmy Smith is enough parent
but
for
I,
anybody.
But I do think that that specific song is the one song that I'm like, I think that's the one that they cut that I'm the most like, I'm kind of like mad about it, because I think that it does nothing but for like, it does a lot more for Abuela's like plot and her connection to this entire neighborhood. And it brings Nina's guilt, and she gets a moment to really work through the reasons why she's scared, and she compares herself to Abuela leaving Havana, and was she scared? Did she know what she was moving to when they moved to the U.S.? Did they think that it was just a land of opportunity and everything was going to be easy? And like, you know, is that what I'm going through? Like, it's just such a really great moment to kind of really entwine these two plot lines. And, you know, they made the decision to make Nina and Benny's plot a little bit more background, and, like, it's fine. But I still, like, oof, that song is, like, a big one for me that I was like, oh, no.
Yeah.
Well, they do have the one song in the whole set, I should say, where you see Abuela Claudia on the L train, you know, and you see, you know, like, the people from Havana, like, you know, bringing out the linens and everything like that. And she's going through her life. And this is all right before she dies. And it's such a powerful and emotional song, because the entire time that song is going on, I don't know if it's what the song's intention is, but it's like, I was like, oh, is she saying goodbye right now?
It's in a different spot.
Like, is this like...
It's a little earlier. Yeah.
Is it really?
It's a little earlier in the musical. They actually cut the song where Abuela dies. Again, this movie is 2.5 hours long, even though the musical's only two, and they cut like 6 or 7 songs. I don't know how they did that.
Is the straight up dialogue, like, you know, actual conversations between characters, is that what's added?
Yes.
Like, is it just pretty much song after song?
No. I mean, it's a musical. It's not like an opera or like a sung through musical. It's more of like a stereotypical musical.
Okay.
There's lots of dialogue and scenes between the songs. They just added a lot of stuff that wasn't originally in the show, and I think that in order to make room for like the Dreamers subplot and some of the stuff with Vanessa, they gave her
Same.
A little bit more. Oh. And then all of the stuff with Usnavi on the beach, like, that was all new dialogue and stuff. So,
you know, it's interesting, the Dreamers stuff, how well that goes with the themes in this movie. You know what I mean? Like, it's crazy how well that fits in, considering it wasn't part. So you're saying the Alabanza song was earlier?
No, not Alabanza. Alabanza was there. Paciencia y Fe is, I believe, the name of the song that...
Patience
and
Faith.
Is the song that she's singing, like, kind of right before she dies. That's a little bit earlier in the musical. And there is another song that I can't remember the name of. Let me actually look up In the Heights.
Well, while you're looking that up, just interject whenever you find it. But that whole thing of, you know, where she's walking down to the towards the steps and you see the light, you know, shining. And that was like... Oh no, because like the entire time when she's like reliving her past, that's when I'm like, oh gosh, please don't let this be the end of Abuela, because I love her so much. I think that character just begs, you know, not only like the whole matriarchal, you know, she's the mother of the entire block or anything like that. It was like the unconditional love for everything. And they even talk about it, like how she found beauty and love in things that, you know, everybody else overlooked, you know. I think that's what made that character so special.
She
and,
is a...
How she...
Go ahead.
Go ahead.
I thought you were done. Go ahead.
I was going to say how she passed looking at her family, pretty much, you know, with a smile on her face. Like, I can't imagine a better way for that character to go, but at the same time, it's so emotional and heartbreaking that it had to happen.
She is... the heart of the movie, as I mentioned. She's also adds a foundation of faith to the movie that is really interesting. And you know, I think in many communities, the way faith plays a role in day-to-day life is fascinating and interesting. And there are many things that people who take the name Christian do, and Abuela is the living embodiment of what my idea of Jesus Christ actually is. And that's, you know, that is what makes it really powerful to me. And kind of one of the things that makes this next level experience for me is that character and just the whole paciencia y fe, forgive the mispronunciation, is just, I don't know. I just find it, you know, even the word alabanza, right, means to offer God, offer everything to God, you know, like to, you know, I think the word praise is in there too, like offer praise to God or whatever. And there's a really beautiful way that she loves, like you said, everybody around her unconditionally. She's never judging people. She's never, you know, it's really beautiful. And I think it offers the musical a really beautiful centerpiece of faith. And they go back to that in the final song as well. You know, it's very much about honoring her and kind of who she was. So yeah, that was one of the two things that I wanted to chat about, for sure. The other is the bookends, which is really fascinating to me because Lowe tells us they're not in the original Broadway play, which I guess how would they be? But so for you, when you see that Lowe, do you immediately know it's, or did you think they really changed it?
I spent the whole movie being really scared that he was going to move back to... back to the Dominican Republic. Because, like, part of what this movie is about realizing, like we've already talked about, realizing like how important your home can be, and like also kind of putting away this sort of for both Nina and Usnavi, more so Nina in the play than in this, but putting away that sort of like rose tinted glasses version of your childhood. And for Usnavi, it's putting that away of the Dominican Republic. For Nina, it's kind of putting that away of her hometown so that she can go beyond it. And I was like, oh my gosh, like I'm going to be mad if this ends up happening. It didn't. But then they had that whole thing with them having a daughter. And I was like, oh no, like this isn't just a dream. But that was okay.
I think it's brilliantly done. I did not have any context.
Of course. Yeah, this is all coming from like me being too comparative, of course.
No. I was curious about it because, like you said, if you know what the point of the show had been, it would have been hard to buy in to what was going on there. However, the movie really does sell it. It sells it pretty well. I know my wife was really shocked by it. She loved the twist. The twist, obviously, is that the shop is the beach. And, you know, that he didn't move, although, you know, it feels like he did. And he's telling a story from his past. But they wait to have the girl, like, halfway through call him dad. Which is a neat, which is a nice little touch, like
that
a really,
because
it grounds, it grounds it even further, and it's like, oh, you know, they wouldn't do that if that weren't real, and they kind of cheated it a little bit, but they didn't do anything, you know, wrong there. My brain is weird. I saw the green crab, and I was like, crabs are not that bright green. What is going on here? And I thought, oh, maybe this is a, you know, a fantasy where I didn't know all of it, but I was kind of suspicious from that point, which is right near the beginning. I think that's like in the second time we see him on the beach with the kids. But I think it's really well done. I think it's a really smart framing device for this movie, especially considering now that I've heard you talk that they really focused the whole thing, changed it to be about gentrification. Mm-hmm. And so it really focuses the whole movie on, do you leave or do you stay?
And it's not to say that that wasn't
better.
A theme in the original musical, but they definitely kind of like switched the dials as to which one they were focusing more on in the movie, which is fine. Like it's a relevant topic and worth talking about.
Yeah. Yeah.
But yeah. That threw me off. Another thing is that, so the timeline of this movie is very interesting because the show takes place over like 3 days. Like the entire first act up until the blackout is a single day. And then next day is the day that Abuela dies. Which is what happens, but it's like, that's the next day. And then we have I think that's it. I mean, again, I haven't seen the full musical in a while, but it might be 4 days technically, but it's something like that where it's like, it's just a few days. And I noticed that the most at the very end when they were like a month later, like 30 days since the blackout or whatever it was. I was like, wait, so has Vanessa and Usnavi just not talked like since that night, first of all. Second, it was like they skipped over, like it weirded me out again, because I'm so familiar with the musical. I understand this is something that maybe not everyone would like care about. But the in that last song, they had that stuff with like Vanessa and Usnavi and their little daughter like dancing together and stuff. Like none of that is in the musical. It's literally him that day just being like, okay, I'm staying, which you do get in the musical, but it doesn't like flash forward to any sort of like resolution beyond that. It's just like, hey, we've literally shown you a couple of days, like 3 or 4 days of this neighborhood, very slice of life. Like, here you go. There's no, like, jumping forward to something, like, further. In fact, one of the last lines in the show is, you better believe I'm going to get a second date from Vanessa or something like that. It's, like, one of the final lyrics in the show. So it is a little bit more, I'd like, hey, tie it up in a bow. It was fine in the movie, but it was interesting as somebody who wasn't expecting that.
A little touch that I loved, you know, for the markers say, you know, so many days till blackout, you know, and then once we're in the blackout, it says so many days still blackout. I for whatever reason, I just love that little touch of till blackout, mm-hmm. still blackout. I don't know. It just, it seemed very Lin-Manuel to me to do that. But yeah. Anything else you guys want to talk about?
There were two things that I wanted to talk about. One is kind of more of a question as opposed to like an actual moment. And that is, you know me, I'm face value when it comes to movies, and I'm not much for the metaphorical moments of it. That's more Aaron's cup of tea. But as I was watching the movie, after it ended, I've kind of felt like, you know, there's power, literally power and vibrancy throughout the first half. And then when Abuela dies, that's when the power goes out. Mm-hmm. And it's kind of like, since she was the life and the power of the community, like nobody had any life in them since she was gone. And it's not until Carnival, when people start, you know, coming back together, that the power comes back on and they start realizing, you know, that Abuela Claudia would be with them, not physically. So I don't know if, like, I'm reading too much into that metaphor.
It's in a different order in the show, and that song takes place before Abuela dies. Isn't that interesting?
Wow.
I think it's a really cool, place to put it after her death, as this sort of like revitalization and being like, hey, like, you know, like let's mourn her in more of like a celebrating her life type of way, you know, breathing life back in.
Well, and it's also when they're moving the shop, right?
Which,
and they're just like,
as far as I remember, is not a plot in the musical.
What is the same from this?
Also, you want me to blow your mind more? We know that Abuela won the money from the blackout. I mean, it's not public knowledge.
Oh, I knew.
Well,
that.
But I mean, like, she tells Usnavi. She shows him the money, I think. Oh. I mean, like, there's a lyric in the song that's like, I've never seen this much money in my life. So I'm pretty sure that they have, like, physical, supposed to be like a bag, like she cashed it somewhere else type of thing. And because, like I mentioned, the blackout scene, it's like a little scarier because they're like, he's like, okay, we're going to like, I'm going to like protect you while this like looting is happening.
Yeah.
And the fireworks happen in the blackout scene to distract the vandals, as opposed to like, hey, let's light up the block and like have it be fun. Which, again, I can see reasons why they would change that up. But it does, like, there's like domino effects of like you change one plot line and it starts to affect a lot of other things in the show.
Yeah. It sounds like they really had to do a
lot
of that.
Which is weird because I don't feel like they changed a ton. But then when I start talking about it, I'm like, wait, they did. Like, somehow it's like both are true. I don't know. It's weird.
No,
it's like we saw the Tarantino version where it's all out of quarter.
They gave new context to some of the songs, which I think is really fun. I mean, I think Paciencia y Fe works amazingly as a sort of like her life flashing before her eyes moment, even if it wasn't that in the movie or in the show. So it's like, I think that a lot of the choices that they made are really fun and inspired and, you know, taking new moments, but it is, there are some like interesting differences.
To answer your question, I do believe that they are purposely playing with that metaphor. I think it's fairly clear. And even just the lines, like, you know, we are powerless, you know, it obviously has a very deep double meaning. And then Carnival, I think, you know, they regain their power. You know, they re-understand who they are. And, you know, I think that's right.
Yeah, the other thing I wanted to talk about is what I think is the most powerful scene in the movie. And it's the scene between Nina and Jimmy Smith's character, her dad, where she's where they're at dinner, you know, with everybody around the table. Mm-hmm. And he's talking about how he sold the business so she can go back to Stanford. And she talks about how she was searched in her dormitory. And it's like she refuses the money and stuff like that. It was just such a... It was an emotional scene, obviously, but it was such a powerful scene in the sense of you understand both of them. You know, Jimmy Smith is just the dad who wants the best for his daughter. He sees nothing but the future for her. And she sees, you know, everything that she's leaving behind. And it's, I just wanted to get, like, where you guys landed, like, on that scene. Because for me, it's the best scene in the movie.
No, I think it's great. I think the stuff between them is really interesting and not necessarily something I've seen a ton before. The idea of the parent trying to provide for their children, and the child being like, you know, I don't need it, but not in a way of like I'm rebelling and I'm refusing it, and it's yeah. and not even in a way of I feel bad that you're spending this on me. It's more of
there's a little of that.
There's a little bit of that, but it's mostly you're not listening to me. I'm not connecting to why I'm there yet. And like that's deeper than those things, and that is a parent child thing. That is a parent child miscommunication thing, where it's like, you know, you see your version of the world for me and understand things you think, but I'm the one living it. Listen to what I'm saying. Like I thought it was really good. So I enjoyed it as well.
Yeah, those are the two things I wanted to touch on.
Nice. Anything else from you, Lo, that you wanted to mention before we go?
I mean. No, I'm just going to keep pointing out like weird.
Is the original play called In the Heights?
It is called In the Heights. And I would say that, okay. like, honestly, this is a pretty faithful adaptation. I just think that it's necessary for adaptations to have changes, especially when this is a show that came out in 2008 and is a modern show for that time. It's gonna date itself, right? Like the longer time goes on, like there's a lot of stuff, like there's very minor things. Like there's a lyric in the original show that's Donald Trump and me on the links and he's my caddy. You're not gonna say that now because in 2008, he was just a weird rich guy that golfed a lot. So they changed it to, I think, Tiger Woods, you know, just to, again, be somebody that is famous that you would know that golfs. So there's like little things like that all the way up to some of the bigger stuff to make the movie more relevant to today's political climate and the things that I think people in that community are more worried about than what they were in 2008. Things are always changing. So I get it. It all makes sense. But it is very interesting from my point of view, just being like, well, like, get all these little dominoes.
Is there a world where you end up liking the movie more than
original? Mostly because of the fact that they didn't include
songs that are missing
just
that you love.
One song. There's a lot of songs that are missing that I get, and I understand that they wanted to pare down Nina's story, but I think that Everything I Know is the tearjerker in that musical. And I think that most people who are very big fans of the musical would say that that is the biggest tearjerker. That is the most emotional song in the entire show. And like it being missing is, I think, very noticed by people who are like familiar with the musical.
Well, there you go. It's official. The
Newsies
movie is better than the stage play, and In the Heights is the opposite. all right, that's going to wrap it up. Thank you, guys. Appreciate you hanging out with us for the Sip Spoil. We'll be back next time we need to spoil something, whenever that is. We'll catch you then. Bye.
Bye.
You know how to book flights and hotels. All you're missing is a tool to plan the travel experiences you'll have once you arrive. That's why you need Viator. Book guided tours, excursions, and more in one place. There are over 300,000 travel experiences to choose from, so you can find something for everyone. And Viator offers free cancellation and 24/7 customer support for worry-free travel. Download the Viator app now and use code Viator10 for 10% off your first booking in the app. Find travel experiences for you. Do more with Viator.